The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
You think of a writer and you often think of someone who's maybe not antisocial, but, you know,
introverted or
And I think the thing is that it's so tricky because unlike anything else, you know, that readers want to hear from the writer. They want to connect with them. Yeah, and the writer, absolutely. You know, is. It's like if it were a movie, the writer is at once the actors, the director, the lighting, the sound, and everyone. A writer's fans are not going to want to hear from me. They're not going to want to hear from the book editor. So it is important to connect with one's fans directly, you know, however possible.
Greetings and welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your host, Kelton Reed. And in part two of this file, the top-ranked New York literary agent Mark Gottlieb of Trident Media Group returned to enlighten us about all things publishing, including what it's like to work at one of the world's leading agencies, how to stand out as a writer, and the kinds of projects he's looking for right now. Mark grew up around books and best-selling authors, and the writing life had an influence on him from a very early age. Inspired to go into the family business, he graduated with a degree in writing, literature, and publishing, and began his career at Penguin. He's since gone on to become one of the top-ranked agents on Publishers Marketplace and has represented numerous award-winning and New York Times best-selling authors. Trident Media Group is a prominent New York agency that represents a diverse stable of over 1,000 best-selling and emerging authors across a wide range of genres in fiction and nonfiction. Mark has optioned books for both film and TV and is actively building a client list of authors at TMG. He previously ran their audiobook department and has worked in foreign rights. He has a passion for working directly with authors to help them manage and build their careers using the unique resources available to him at one of the world's leading agencies. If you're interested in insider's take on how to get traditionally published today, stick around. And just a quick note that this episode of The Writer Files is brought to you by the inspiring team at Author Accelerator. You know that book idea rattling around in your head? Well, now is the time to take it seriously. And working with an Author Accelerator book coach is the best way to write forward. Author Accelerator book coaches give writers feedback, accountability, and support while you write so that you can get that idea out of your head and onto the page. And if you think book coaching sounds like a gig you'd like to do, many authors and copywriters have the exact skill set needed to become great book coaches themselves, including managing a project and understanding that creative process. Author Accelerator offers intensive book coach training and master classes so that you can add this premium service to your own arsenal. Writers can simply head over to authoraccelerator.com/writerfiles for more info and to get the free 7-day writing challenge to start mapping out your own book. That's authoraccelerator.com/writerfiles. And in part two of this file, Mark and I discussed how to stand out as a writer today, including the importance of platform, timing, and talent. Why authors can't put the cart before the horse, and the difference between selling nonfiction and fiction manuscripts. The secrets of successful authors that aspiring writers can steal. How a literary agent can improve on a publisher's marketing and promotion plan. The most critical time leading up to your book's birthday. all the different ways big agencies can think of your work beyond the book deal, and Mark's sage advice and tips for authors who are ready to seek representation. And if you missed the first half of this show, you can find it in the archives at writerfiles.fm, and you can find the last 100 episodes on Apple Podcasts or wherever you tune in, and in the show notes. Stay tuned. The Writer Files is brought to you by my friends at copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Authors, bloggers, journalists, online publishers, and entrepreneurs, head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published, and leave us a rating or a review over on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. Well, yeah, let's talk about some things that help writers to kind of stand out from the crowd out there, you know, be it, you know, things that you've noticed or kind of advise regarding just, you know, platform, timing, yes. Talent, you know, I know these things all come into play. I know it's kind of a, you know, not everything is the same for every writer. You know, not every writer has this giant platform, but maybe an incredibly talented writer. Not every writer has a literary award on their desk, but they are, you know, working in a medium that's needed out there. So, you know, maybe kind of talk a little bit about the approaches of, you know, what you've seen as you've been approached by potential clients, kind of what you feel like is a good mix of what works well.
Well, Kelton, I'd say that what you asked is very astute and pointing out three things: platform, timing, and talent. In that, you know, platform is really important to authors of nonfiction, in that book publishers are thinking in their minds, okay, if this person has a million social media followers, or they do speaking engagements to hundreds, if not thousands of people throughout the country, throughout the year, the publisher is thinking, if just a fraction of that audience buys the book, that the publisher will be in great shape. You know, they like that built-in audience. It's kind of like you mentioned, one of my authors, James Breakwell, he has over a million followers on Twitter. Right. It was a real no-brainer for the publisher to publish the book, because they know he can flip a switch and say, okay, followers, I got a new book. You got to buy it. And they go out and they buy the book, and it's like printing money every time he publishes a book. So it's not enough in nonfiction outside of a platform to have written a good book on an interesting subject and to be an authority on the subject matter in which you're writing. The publisher really needs to see that whatever you're saying it from a Broadway stage and not from a soapbox. And so a lot of what I find in nonfiction is it's convincing off publishers that platform is there. And you really, you really can't make that kind of thing up. In fact, publishers have gotten very smart about it. Like, there are people who can buy Twitter followers, for instance, you know, or pay for likes on Facebook and things like that. And the publisher can see that, okay, you have over a million followers, but every time you make a post, you get like one or two retweets. So what's going on with that?
Yeah.
So they look at the engagement level of the followers too. So that's really the thing that authors of nonfiction need to focus on. You can't go cart before the horse. You need to have your platform really in order and really beefed up before you approach an agent and then go on to, you know, get published. And then, you know, you also mentioned, Kelton, you mentioned timing. I think that timing has a lot to do with any author who's writing a book. I think that they don't just need to be with the times. Like, you know, for instance, if you're writing a children's book, where right now diversity and own voices is a really big thing. Yeah. If you're you know, not a person of a diverse background and you're trying to write someone else's narrative, people are very sensitive to that kind of thing, right? It would be like, you know, or someone writing about toxic masculinity and, you know, mm-hmm. not having watched this Gillette commercial or heard anything about that, and maybe they're trying to write another Tucker Max book, they would have been completely out of touch. So I think some of these things have a lot to do with timing. And that's a tricky thing, because sometimes, you know, you're on the crest of a wave or you're making the wave, but mm-hmm. you don't want to really ever be behind the trend line. It's sure. a really tricky, tricky thing. And then in the rarest of instances, there are authors that unwittingly create these trends. For instance, you know, when Dan Brown published the Da Vinci Code, every publisher was scrambling to make their own version of the Da Vinci Code. And they went, the first thing they did was, because, you know, it takes 12 to 18 months from the date of a signed contract to publish most any book. The first thing these publishers did was they went and they looked at their backlist to see if they had any fiction that, you know, was similar in a way. And they really couldn't find anything. And so what some publishers then did was, in looking at their backlist, they started looking at their nonfiction. And what they discovered was there were a lot of people reading books about nonfiction books about conspiracies within the Catholic Church. And not just conspiracies, but ones having to do with Mary Magdalene. And right away, it clicked in the minds of publishers that there had been this underserved audience, people who were clearly interested in this subject. They couldn't find the book in the fiction space, and so they had come to it in other ways. And when Brown came about, he just unwittingly served this, you know, underrepresented audience. And from there, it was just like the water cooler effect. So
that's cool.
That's all kind of timing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last thing too you mentioned is talent. I'll speak about that in regard to fiction, in that fiction is different than nonfiction. First of all, it can only be sold on a full manuscript because it's not idea driven the way that nonfiction is. You know, someone evaluating nonfiction at a publishing house can look at a proposal and sample chapters because they figure, okay, if the idea is good, if the opening is good, I can see where the rest of the book will go. Whereas in fiction, it's really about the quality of the writing and the author, by extension of that, becoming a household name. So yeah, obviously it needs to be well written, but I think what helps, you know, very new authors of fiction, let's just say debut fiction, is, in addition to those things, really having a lot of feathers in their caps. And that might mean maybe the author attended some very prestigious writers' workshops or conferences. Like there's the Yale Writers Conference. There's another one at Sarah Lawrence, an Iowa Writers Workshop. There are a bunch of them. Or maybe they got some awards for short stories of theirs that they hopefully published with a prestigious literary magazine, or maybe they collected endorsements from best-selling authors along the way, you know, blurbs or praise for their books or their writing in general. All of that, I kind of lump it into, you know, the talent of the writer and the relevant writing experience, their backgrounds and credentials that can really be the bells and whistles to, a quality piece of fiction writing.
Yeah, yeah. Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on 3 decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories, wherever you buy books, and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on.
Well, that's great. And you do talk about that quite a bit in some of the interviews you've done and on your blog, which I'll also point to. And those are great, again, more great resources that you offer. So it's something you've talked about at length. But in your veteran kind of experience, you know, I mean, there's a couple questions I had just about, like, maybe if you could compare the successful writers and successful authors that you've rubbed elbows with, you know, kind of what they do over the long haul that sets them apart from aspiring authors who may, you know, not have those pieces yet, and, you know, who are going to obviously listen to this and take notes, hopefully. But, you know, maybe about the importance of consistency, or, and you've talked about persistence over the long haul, you know, like that, the irony of the kind of the 10-year overnight success, you know, what are these really successful writers doing that aspiring writers can take a page from?
Yeah. I wish there was one formula or magic bullet. You know, I can say that from what I'm seeing, from where I'm sitting, you know, I'm working with a lot of, at the agency, you know, I've worked with and come across many best-selling authors, and, you know, a lot of the commonality, what I see among them is, for one, the way in which they work with their agents. You know, one of the things we like to do at Trident is really ask the publisher for their marketing and publicity plans so that we can try to comment and improve upon those plans, you know, to make recommendations of our own. And then I like to sit with the client and see maybe what they could be doing on their own. So sometimes we look at their social media presence. We look at their website. And sometimes it's simple things like, you know, does that button or that link, you know, to your Instagram actually work on your website? you know, or there's some of these resources on the blog I keep where I talk about author email signatures. That's a way to kind of be passively marketing and promoting one's book. I see a lot of these authors, you know, interface with their publishers and their marketing and publicity people the best they can. But also sometimes I see them go for outside book publicists as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of the, this is not to speak ill, but a lot of these publishers have various imprints inside the publishing house. It's like little companies under one big umbrella, and a lot of them share the same back office. So there might be a publicist at a publishing house who oversees the list of like several publishers. And so they're oftentimes spread very thin, and the publishers can only really devote their time and attention to what they feel are really their lead titles or key titles. So I think a lot of it is staying on the publisher. I like to look at a calendar of events with authors to see when they should be expecting certain things, when they should be promoting their book. I think things really start to rev up like 4 months from publication, and sometimes in the months thereafter. But the most critical time is, you know, your book's publication day. You have to treat it like, you know, your birthday, or, you know, it's your book, it's your book's birthday.
That's interesting, you know, because it always kind of comes full circle back to the idea that, I think whether you're a self-published author or a traditionally published author, you really have to think of yourself as a startup, right? Kind of as, you know, you do have to take on some of that marketing promotion stuff. The book is a business, and the author is really kind of has to become an entrepreneur, wear the hat of an entrepreneur. I'm sure a lot of writers don't like that idea initially, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could see why you'd say that in that, you know, you think of a writer and you often think of someone who's maybe not antisocial, but, you know,
introverted or yeah.
And I think the thing is that it's so tricky because unlike anything else, you know, that readers want to hear from the writer. They want to connect with them. Yeah, and the writer, absolutely. You know, is it's like if it were a movie, the writer is at once the actors, the director, the lighting, the sound, and everyone. A writer's fans are not going to want to hear from me. They're not going to want to hear from the book editor. So it is important to connect with one's fans directly, you know, however possible.
Well, let's talk about maybe some of the different types of deals that you've done in the past, you know, maybe some eccentricities of what you've run up against out there with your clients. You know, I'm kind of interested in some of your stories about maybe selling for TV and film, because you've done a fair amount of that in the past, and what that's like.
Sure. I mean, there are lots of other types of deals when, you know, outside of just simply making a book deal with a publisher. You know, our agency is different, I think, from a lot of other literary agencies in a lot of ways, in that we don't just think of the book as its own manifestation. You know, we look at a book and we see all the possibilities surrounding a book. Like a book could one day be an audiobook. It could be not just in print and ebook, and it could be translated and published overseas. It could be a film or a TV show. It could be a board game. You know, it could be a video game. So
yeah.
I think a lot of, this is not to speak pejoratively, but it might be the tendency of a much, much smaller agency or an agency that just maybe doesn't have the means or the willingness to do this, in that they might give a lot of these rights away to a book publisher in the hopes of garnering a slightly higher book advance, whereas our tendency is to fight a publisher off and hold on to as many rights for the client as we can so we can help the client properly exploit those rights to their benefit. So for instance, in regard to foreign rights, you know, we sell direct. We go to the London Book Fair, the Frankfurt Book Fair, two of the biggest world book fairs every year, and sit down with foreign publishers face to face and ask them how they're doing, what their market's like, what they're looking for, and hand sell or cater a title to them. An author can't get that level of treatment when, you know, that kind of business is farmed out to like a co-agent or a sub-agent or when a publisher has control of those rights. And so in speaking of film and TV, which, you know, that's almost like an episode in itself, I have to say.
Okay.
There's a lot to cover there. I could say a little bit about it.
Yeah. But, come back another time and do another one. That'd be really cool. So many of the authors we speak with often have like an adaptation in the works. And I know that, you know, some of them have expressed frustration as to, you know, how slowly it works. Some are already on Netflix, you know, and it's like, I wholeheartedly agree with you from what we've been told that it probably is an episode unto itself.
Yeah. And that stuff, like you say, it does take time. Like you hear about things going into development hell, and, you know, we still do a lot of work for our clients in that space. I was in LA a couple of weeks ago. We take a lot of meetings with folks at places like Paramount. We went to Netflix studios, Amazon studios, cool. Lionsgate, and so on and so forth. It's a lot of work, and it's kind of like buying a lotto ticket. You know, it could happen for an author tomorrow. It could be, you know, years from now. But it's still important work we do for clients. So we have adapted a lot of our stuff for film and TV. Like we did the Spielberg movie, A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Way Home. We did Wonder, you know, Julia Roberts and Jacob Tremblay were in that. The new Dune movie and TV series that's coming out, that was us too.
Oh, cool.
So we do a lot of work in that space, but I find it takes time and it can often be a distraction for authors who, you know, fixate on that a little too much.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, I would love to have you back to get more into your brand on that one. I think that would be a cool episode. We could combine it with some other interesting stuff from your perspective in that world. Always pretty fascinating. So before we kind of wrap up with your final advice for authors who are ready to seek representation and query and do all that stuff and where to connect with you, I guess, you know, a good question to ask you would be, are you open for submissions? Yeah, what kind of things you're looking for, if you are?
Sure.
I mean, I know you are.
I am. Yeah, I am. It says in my company profile, but yeah, so I am actively building my client list. I'm open to most anything, really. You know, I'd rather not shut myself off to any one particular thing. But with that said, you know, I do a lot of commercial fiction, upmarket fiction, platform-driven nonfiction, you know, the occasional children's book or graphic novel. So it's really, it's all over the place. It really runs the gamut. But those are some of the things, you know, I'm really looking for. So I'm open to a lot. I'd say authors should visit our website, take a look.
That's right.
They could read my bio. They can look at my client list or the kinds of releases I have there to get a sense of the books I've done. Or they can look up my deals on Publishers Marketplace.
Absolutely.
And they would see more, even more there.
Yep. And I'll point at tridentmediagroup.com/agents/Mark-Gottlieb, of course. And yeah, so yeah, just real quick, do you have any hotly anticipated titles you want to mention that are upcoming for your clients or others that you're just kind of keeping an eye on?
You know, I always have a lot of books coming down the pipeline, you know, in the fiction space. I don't want to play favorites. I'll just mention a couple of books that are going to be coming along very, very soon. I have this author, Alan Hlod. He has this book called A Long Flight Home. It's a historical novel, mixture of maybe Unbroken and Water for Elephants. That's coming from Kensington Books. Kind of like a love story with a backdrop of World War II. And if you like birds, they feature prominently in the book. And then on the nonfiction side, I have this interesting book coming from Chronicle Books called Autocomplete the Book, which is written by Justin Hook, who created this viral internet phenomenon called Google Feud. If you go to googlefeud.com, you can try the game he created.
Oh, cool.
He's been on a bunch of late shows for it and stuff like that. So that'll be a fun like gift book type thing.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, man. Well, let's wrap up here and maybe just share any other quick tips for querying authors and where they can connect with you out there in the world, i.e. like any upcoming speaking events or conferences you got?
I would say to authors to just write a really great query, you know, one page to the point, really strong hook in there, include a couple of comparative titles and a little bit about yourself and the book. And then if they want to connect with me, I think, you know, authors should feel free to write to me directly. You know, through our website, we have a submissions contact us form.
Yeah, I'll link to that.
And I think that's one good thing to do. And, you know, I go to events throughout the year. You know, I don't think authors want to fly all the way to Frankfurt, Germany, though, to find me at the Frankfurt Book Fair.
But, well, we have German listeners, so it's very possible.
Okay. Well, I might be surprised. If I meet one of your listeners, yeah, Kelton, overseas, I'll let you know.
Please do. It'd be funny.
But, yeah, I would say authors should feel free to reach out online through our website.
I love it. All right. Well, we will link to tridentmediagroup.com and all those other great resources. And we really appreciate you taking the time to share the publishing secrets of your storied career, man. Thanks for coming on, and we hope to have you back again.
Thanks so much. It was great to be on the show.
Thanks so much for joining us for this half of the Writer Files. And if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review to help other writers find us. You can always leave us a comment or a question and visit the entire archives at writerfiles.fm, where we also humbly ask you to support the show with a secure donation to help us keep going. Just click the little yellow PayPal donate button over at writerfiles.fm. And you can always chat with me on Twitter at Kelton Reed. Cheers. Talk to you next week. And thank you.